the slave trade flourished in Washington, D.C. Those that make the laws think little of their crimes, while those held in bondage by their time. Oh,
I see it as no accident that the single largest known slave escape in American history occurred here in the district.
District of Columbia Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton, who recently introduced a resolution commemorating the 1848 slave escape that occurred in Washington, D.C. on the ship the Pearl. On today's show, she connects that historic escape with today's fight for D.C. statehood.
At important moments in our history, the labor movement and the civil rights movement have quite literally walked a common path.
Last week, the American Federation of Government Employees celebrated Black Labor Week with a series of free online presentations, beginning with a session on Black history, race, and racism in America.
One outcome of these meetings was the founding of labor schools to train Black students in the skilled trades as a means to gain economic independence.
On this week's Labor History in Two, Rick Smith tells us about the fight for equality in 1830. I'm Chris Garlock, and that's all ahead on this week's Labor History Today. I hope you enjoy the show. On September 11th of this year, Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton introduced a resolution commemorating the 1848 slave escape that occurred in Washington, D.C. It was said to be the single largest known slave escape in American history. And in fact, it was said to have inspired Harriet Beecher Stowe in writing the novel Uncle Tom's Cabin. On April 16, 1848, 77 slaves attempted to flee the District of Columbia and Alexandria, Virginia, on the Pearl, a schooner waiting for them in the Potomac River. The next day, slaveholders in D.C., realizing their slaves had disappeared, sent a posse of 35 men, who recaptured the slaves and brought them back to the District of Columbia, where they were sold to slave traders who took them to New Orleans. In the aftermath of the escape, slavery supporters formed a mob and lashed out at both the white abolitionists involved in the escape as well as free blacks in the District of Columbia in the Washington Riot of 1848. On today's show, Congresswoman Norton connects that historic escape with today's fight for D.C. statehood.
When it comes, and it will come, statehood will free district residents of every race and background from constraints that deny them the freedom and equality enjoyed by other Americans. But I see it as no accident that the single largest known slave escape in American history occurred here in the district. The courage of the escapees, men and women determined to be free, reminds me of the spirit D.C. residents have always had in the fight for statehood. Remembering the story of the Pearl must inspire us to achieve the freedom that only statehood can give.
Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton. Last week, the American Federation of Government Employees, or AFGE, celebrated Black Labor Week with a series of free online presentations, beginning with a session on Black history, race, and racism in America. The programs were organized by AFGE's Women's and Fair Practices Departments. Here are some excerpts from that first presentation.
Thank you. the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long, but now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know change gonna come. Oh, yes it will.
So tonight's session is on the history of the labor movement, black labor, as well as the civil rights movement and their connection.
At important moments in our history, the labor movement and the civil rights movement have quite literally walked a common path. As a union, the UAW, led by Walter Reuther, embraced and strongly supported the civil rights movement, including the Montgomery bus boycott in 1955, and marched alongside Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as he sought to make America a more just nation. In 1963, the UAW gave Dr. King office space at its headquarters at Solidarity House in Detroit. This is where the Nobel Prize winner penned his I Have a Dream speech that was first spoken during Detroit's Walk to Freedom March. The UAW provided financial support, and Reuther stood beside King again 2 months later when the speech made history in Washington, D.C. The reason we share so much history, the reason we have so often literally walked a common path, is that we share a common vision. It's a vision that's grounded in the democratic principles on which our country was founded, but that also recognizes that our democracy is not perfect. The great task of American history is to extend democracy's promise to excluded groups, to non-property owners, to women, to African Americans, to immigrants. The UAW has made civil rights a labor issue, and the erosions of unions is a civil rights issue. Today, we are working aggressively with the NAACP and other allies to repeal voter suppression laws, pay equity measures, and anti-immigrant laws. We continue in the struggle for social and economic justice for all people because it's the right thing to do. We will not accept workers being told that we cannot have decent wages and pensions. We will not accept unconscionable cuts in funding for K through 12. We will not accept 1 in 4 American children living in poverty and hunger. We will not accept home foreclosures on hardworking Americans who are out of work or underpaid. We will not accept workers being stripped of their collective bargaining rights. We must fight against injustice. What's at stake is the right of all working men and women to dignity and fair treatment on the job. What's at stake is our ability to provide all our children with a better life. What's at stake is our continuing struggle to overcome the legacy of racism and discrimination. What's at stake is the soul of our democracy. In this new century, our two movements, labor and civil rights, will rise and fall together. We must continue to walk a common path.
The first national union was the National Labor Union, which was founded in 1866. And it was the first union that pushed for the legalization of the 8-hour day, workday. Although they were not successful in actually accomplishing the 8-hour workday, they did set the groundwork and successfully inspired people to rally behind labor reform. Now, within the National Labor Union, there was some divisiveness. There were Southerners that would not join the National Labor Union if they allowed Black people to join into the union. Although some Black employee workers were able to join the National Labor Union, they were not allowed to be delegates at any National Labor Union meeting or convention. So as a result of that, the African-American workers founded the Colored National Labor Union. This was founded in 1869 in Baltimore, 4 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. A little bit about that. The Emancipation Proclamation was initially issued in 1862. It was then again issued in 1863. However, all slaves were not freed until 1865. So 4 years after all slaves being free, the Colored National Labor Union was formed. The objectives of the Colored National Labor Union was to improve working conditions of Black workers, develop a national system of public education with equal opportunities for Black people, and attain equality in industry with the elimination of discrimination in trade unions. Now, during this time, the country was also going through the Jim Crow era, which was racial segregation in public schools, public transportation, restaurants, restrooms, water fountains, and public places. Now, the name Jim Crow came from an actor that put on blackface makeup, and his name was Jim Crow. Jim Crow then became a racial slur and became used to describe laws and customs that were designed to oppress Black people. In 1896, landmark case of Plessy versus Ferguson, where a Black passenger refused to sit in the Blacks only section. And the court then ruled that the doctrine of separate but equal was to be upheld. Then in 1954, the U.S. Supreme Court in Brown versus the Board of Education ruled that racial segregation in schools violated the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause. In Brown, Oliver Brown wanted his daughter, Linda Brown, to attend an all-white elementary school in Topeka and was not allowed to do so. And so the Supreme Court ruled that the separate but equal doctrine was invalidated and that separate schools were not equal. The court also went further to say that segregating children by race had an impact on the psyche of children. To tell kids that they could not be together in school then led for one group, primarily, well, definitely the African-American students, to feel inferior to their counterparts. The Brown versus the Board of Education case was tried and won by Thurgood Marshall and a group of NAACP legal attorneys. The NAACP was founded in New York City in 1908 by an interracial group, including W.E.B. Du Bois. It is the oldest and largest civil rights organization, and it was formed in response to the violence that was going on in the country around and against Black people. The mission of the NAACP is to secure political, educational, social, and economic equality of rights in order to eliminate race-based discrimination and ensure health and well-being of all people. Anybody can be a member of the NAACP. NAACP members come from all walks of life, colors, creed, religion, as long as they are somebody who believes and supports the mission of the NAACP. In 1925, the Brotherhood of the Sleeping Car Porters was founded by A. Philip Randolph. It was the first Black labor organization to receive a charter in the AFL in 1937. And the goal and aim of the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters was to improve the working conditions of not only just the African-American porters, but also the maids that were employed by the Pullman Company. So as you can see, there's a history where labor and Black labor and the civil rights kind of began.
I met Rosa Parks at the age of 17. In 1958, at the age of 18, I met Martin Luther King Jr., and these two individuals inspired me to get in the way, to get in trouble. So I come here to say to you this morning, on this beautiful campus, with your great education, you must find a way to get in the way. You must find a way to get in trouble, the trouble, necessary trouble. As young people, you must understand that there are forces that want to take us back to another period. But you must say that we're not going back. We made too much progress and we're going forward. There may be some setbacks, some delays, some disappointment, but you must never, ever give up or give in. You must keep your faith and keep your eyes on the prize. That is your calling. That is your mission. That is your moral obligation. That is your mandate. Get out there and do it. Get in the way.
And I hear them crying. Can you practice what you preaching? Would you turn the other cheek again? Mama, 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 tell us what the hell is going on. Can't we all just get along? Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above. Cause people got me questioning. When the love?
Yeah. What's going on with the world, mama?
When the love?
Yeah. People living like they ain't got no mama.
When the love?
I think they're all distracted by the drama and attracted to the trauma, mama.
When the love?
I think they don't understand the concept or the meaning of karma.
Where's the love?
Overseas, yeah, they're trying to stop terrorism.
Where's the love?
Over here on the streets, the police shoot the people, put the bullets in the
room. Where's the love?
But if you only got love for your own race,
where's the love?
Then you're gonna leave space for others to discriminate.
Where's the love?
And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Madness is what you demonstrate, and that's exactly how hate works and operates. Man, we gotta set it straight. Take control of your mind, just meditate. And let your soul just gravitate to the love so the whole world celebrate it.
People killing, people dying. Children hurting, I hear them crying. Can you practice what you preaching? Would you turn the other cheek again? Mama, 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 tell us what the hell is going on. Can't we all just get along? Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above. Cause people got me questioning. Where's the love?
just ain't the same. Always a change.
Where is the love?
New days are strange. Is the world insane?
Where's the love?
Nation dropping bombs, killing our little ones.
Where's the love?
Ongoing suffering as the youth die young.
Where's the love when a child gets murdered or a cop gets knocked down? Black lives not now, everybody matter to me. All racist, you don't like what I'm saying? Haterade, tall cases, everybody hates somebody. Guess we all racist, black eyed peas do a song about love. And y'all hate this, all these protests with different color faces. We was all born with a heart, why we gotta chase it? And every time I look around,
every time I look up, every time I look down, no one's on the common ground.
Love.
And if you never speak truth, then you never know a love sound.
Where's love?
And if you never know love, then you never know God.
Where's the love?
Where's the love, y'all?
I don't know.
Where's the truth, y'all?
I don't know.
People killing,
people dying, children hurting,
hear their cries.
Could you practice what you preach?
Would you turn the other cheek?
Father, 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 help us. Since God is from above,
let's people
got me
asking
questions.
Where's the love?
Powerful.
Where's the love? Mama asked me why I never vote. Cause policemen want me dead and gone. That election like a joke, and the weed man still selling dope. Somebody gotta give these niggas hope. All he ever wanted was a smoke. Said he can't breathe with his hands in the air, laying on the ground, died from a choke.
I feel the weight of the world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, y'all, people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images, it's just make criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinemas. What happened to the love and the values of humanity? What happened to the love and the fairness and equality?
Where's the love?
Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity.
Where's the love?
Lack of understanding leading us away from unity.
Where's the love?
Excerpts from AFGE's Black History, Race, and Racism in America presentation at last week's kickoff of Black Labor Week. Very special thanks to Jeremy Lannan, AFGE's National Vice President for Women and Fair Practices, for permission to use the excerpts.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1830. That was the day that the Reverend Richard Allen brought black leaders together at his Mother Bethel AME Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They met to discuss the rising white violence and discrimination toward black free residents in northern cities. 40 people answered Allen's call, representing 7 states. The delegates included many of the leading black ministers and abolitionists of the day. Those who attended risked personal harm as white mobs threatened the delegates. Due to the danger, the group met in secret starting on September 15th. Then, on this day, they began open sessions. For 5 days, the delegates considered multiple responses to the conditions black Northerners faced. They founded the American Society for Free Persons of Color for improving their conditions in the United States, for purchasing lands, and for establishment of a settlement in the province of Canada. The organization emphasized pushing for legal protections for black residents in the United States. They focused on education as a means of uplifting and improving the lives of black citizens. But delegates also supported the idea of an outlet to Canada for those black families who wanted to leave for their safety. The National Convention reconvened several times over the next 3 decades. Multiple meetings were held at the state and local levels. These meetings gave black leaders a chance to devise coordinated strategies to stand up against the increasing violence and restrictive laws of the North, and to call for an end of slavery in the South. One outcome of these meetings was the founding of labor schools to train black students in the skilled trades as a means to gain economic independence. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
that's it for this week's edition of Labor History Today. You can subscribe to LHT on your favorite podcast app, and even better, you can like it in your podcast app and pass it along. You too can be part of Labor History Today by reading a labor history item. Just shoot us a note, laborhistorytoday@gmail.com. Today's music is Troubled Waters by the Baltimore-based R.J. Phillips Band, which tells the story of the Pearl. Labor History Today is a member of the Labor Radio Podcast Network, working people's voices broadcasting worldwide 24 hours a day. Find out more at laborradionetwork.org, where there are links to 70 labor radio and podcast shows. Labor History Today is produced by the Metro Washington Council's Union City Radio and the Kalmanovitz Initiative for Labor and the Working Poor at Georgetown University. The Labor History Today team includes Ben Blake, Patrick Dixon, Leon Fink, Sherry Lincoln, Joe McCartan, Evan Papp, Jessica Pozak, and Alan Weirdak. For Labor History Today, this has been Chris Garlock. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and healthy, but do keep making history. And see you next time.
Mothers, fathers, sons and daughters, troubled waters, freedom's waiting, won't you cross the troubled waters? Oh, father's.